On June 15, 1881, an amateur ornithologist named Eugene P. Bicknell noticed what looked and sounded like a gray-cheeked thrush singing near the summit of Slide Mountain in New York's Catskill Range, way, way south of the gray-cheeked thrush's breeding range on the tundra. So he did what bird aficionados were wont to do at the time. He shot that bird and another one to compare the two little corpses with other dead thrushes in his collection. That made him certain that they were gray-cheeked thrushes, though because of some differences in appearance and their song, and because they were so far from the normal breeding range of the species, he thought they might be a different subspecies. To confirm this, he sent them and the rest of his gray-cheeked thrush specimens to Robert Ridgway at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. Ridgway agreed that the New York birds were a previously undiscovered subspecies of gray-cheeked thrush and named the population for Bicknell. Other ornithologists were intrigued with this isolated population and started studying it. The breeding and wintering ranges were entirely different for the two populations. Normal gray-cheeked thrushes nest in taiga and tundra habitat from Newfoundland to East Siberia, and they winter in eastern South America, while Bicknell's thrush nests in mountains of eastern New York and New England up to northeastern Canada. They winter in the Greater Antilles, especially on Hispaniola. Further research established that significant differences in body structure, DNA, and song between the two populations were great enough to list them as separate species, and the American Ornithologists Union officially separated Bicknell's thrush into a separate species in 1995. Bicknell's thrush is unique among the thrushes for having a mating system called female defense polygynandry, in which both males and females may breed with more than one partner, but most often, that is in about 75% of all nests, one female and her nestlings are attended by 2 to 4 males. Males sing from a variety of posts within their home range but do not defend a territory. It's females who aggressively defend their nesting territories against other females. Males significantly outnumber females, though it's not known if male hatchlings outnumber females or if there is different mortality at different points in their life and why. It's possible that gray-cheeked thrushes also exhibit some of Bicknell's quirks. Their nesting grounds are so remote that few people have studied them in any detail, especially because up to 1995, people thought that Bicknells and gray-cheeks were the same species, so believed that information gathered for Bicknell's thrush applied to gray-cheeked thrush as well. On June 17th this year, I was lucky enough to hear and then get a good, if fleeting, look at Bicknell's thrush in New Hampshire. On 6 days in June, the Mount Washington Auto Road provides a van tour bringing people up to see this fascinating bird. I was a little surprised that our tour leader used recordings to draw in the bird. She said they've become habituated to the recordings and don't always respond, but I find it very troubling that they use recordings at all, which change the behaviors of any bird, just to gratify birders' lust for the list. Bicknell's thrush is considered one of the most rare, range-restricted breeding species in eastern North America, and it's known to be declining. But it is not illegal to disturb Bicknell's thrush on private property, which the auto road is. It felt uncomfortably weird, though, just a week after going on a Kirtland's Warbler tour in Michigan, in which our wonderful guide worked hard to help us all see the bird without using any recordings at all, to encounter such a different philosophy in pursuing a bird equally worthy of every protection. It didn't keep me from adding Bicknell's thrush to my life list, especially because we were hearing it before the recording was played, but that little tick on my life list will always seem a little troubling and tainted. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.